Tonight we contemplate the third word. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. John tells us, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished. In John's gospel, our Lord is in control at all times. John expresses the ultimate power of Christ, his absolute authority. When he hands himself over, he is still in control. He's in control on the cross. The passion is the height of this. Nothing happens on accident or by chance. It is planned. It is intentional. It is our Lord's way of drawing us more completely and absolutely into his love. What we hear tonight was planned from the beginning. John begins his gospel with the same words of Genesis. There's emptiness and chaos. God puts things into order. And he gives us a share in his work. Through our Lord's ministry, the culmination of this Paschal mystery, he puts order into a broken world. He fixes what we have messed up. The key part of how he does that is through the gift of Mary, the gift of our mother. The one who can take care of us. Jesus emphasizes this on the cross by referring to her as woman. The same title he uses at the wedding at Cana when his public ministry begins, the same word used for Eve in Genesis. What Eve broke through her sinfulness, Mary fixes. Our first mother leads us into sin, the second mother leads us into holiness. St. Irenaeus tells us, the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience, but the Virgin Eve bound through her unbelief, the Virgin Mary loosened by her faith. The knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience, but the Virgin Eve bound through her unbelief, the Virgin Mary loosened by her faith. She shows us how to live, shows us what to do. The sin of Adam and Eve is them grasping after that which was not theirs. Eve receives grace, receives what the Father has to offer her. And in that, she is the perfect disciple, the perfect student of her Son. She succeeds at all times. And think for a moment of all the things that the Father has offered her, all the things he's called her to say yes to. First, the Annunciation, when the plan that she had laid out is completely disrupted, turned upside down, how her life does not go according to her own plan. The presentation of the Lord in the temple, the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies. Simeon is there foretelling the moment that she is now in, the great suffering, how the crowds would love her son and hate him, how a sword would pierce her heart. Imagine the feeling, knowing that it is only going to get worse. And she loses our Lord in the temple. And his response, I had to be in my Father's house about his business. The very strong, very stark reminder, even though she brought Jesus into the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, she is not hers. She belongs to another. The wedding at Cana. She gives us her final words in the gospel. Do whatever he tells you. No qualifiers, no limits, absolute trust. And her intercession for that couple begins a trajectory in which they are now on, leading to our Lord's passion, bringing his hour closer. Through his public ministry, she watches the crowds love her son and hate him. Every time, I'm sure, her mind going back to the words of Simeon. Again reminded, time and time again, it will only get worse. It will only get harder. And then, of course, walking with her son in his final hours, when the people that he came to save turn on him, ridicule him, hate him, kill him. In every one of these moments, she says yes. She accepts absolutely and completely what the Father has in store for her and for the Son. In that, she becomes our model, the mother we need to imitate. And again, nothing in John happens by chance. He points out that after he is entrusted Mary to the beloved disciple to Mary, it is now finished. This has been a part of the plan since the beginning. Our Lord has slowly been revealing more and more of his love to us, more and more of his grace, more and more of his goodness, showing us more and more of himself. And this, his final act before he hands himself over, is a gift of a mother. We can't underestimate how amazing this gift is to be for us. We can't love our mother too much. We'll never outdo her son in loving her. Our Lord's first word on the cross is that of mercy. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. His second word is of salvation. Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. His third word is relationship and protection, making sure that we are never alone. We always have someone with us, guiding us and defending us. There is no one more vicious on this earth than a mother protecting her child. How much more so of Mary? As our Lord's death is drawing near, he keeps looking for people to comfort, ministering to those around them, letting them know that no matter how bad things get, he will always give them what they need. Mary is the height of this gift, of this protection. So how do we make Mary, our mother, more completely, more absolutely? I propose four moves. The first is to make sure that we cry out in our need. A mother always hears the voice of her children. Every time temptation comes near, every time we are anxious or worried or concerned, turn to your mother. Ask for her help. Jesus tells us to be childlike, and isn't that the first move of every little child? Asking for their mother's help. We're told throughout the scriptures we can do nothing on our own, but only by God's grace. Mary is the vehicle of that grace in our life. Trust in her. Lean on her. Talk to her like a child is the second move. Not only in need, not only in those moments of desperation, but just every day. When we were children, when we got home from school or from a day of playing outside, Mother always asked us how our day was. Mary wants to know as well. Briefly at the end of each day, walk through your day with our mother. Ask for her guidance. Ask for advice on some of those things that we have to deal with. Whatever still lies ahead of us. Knowing that she will lead us to the right answers. The third is to pray the rosary. The only goal Mary has in the end is to lead us to her son, to lead us to Jesus. John Paul II tells us to pray the rosaries, to meditate, to contemplate, to see the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary. Nobody loved Jesus as much as her, because nobody was able to love as much as her. So to look at his life through her eyes will take us more deeply into the mystery of who he is, the mystery of his love, the mystery of the church. It is at once intercession for the needs that we have, as well as this beautiful contemplation. The fourth is to thank her for being with you as you carry your crosses, as you move through your daily life. Gratitude, thanksgiving, is one of the best ways to open us up to God's grace. To thank Mary, to make ourselves aware of how she is with us, how she is guiding us, how she is taking us closer to her Son each day, will help us fall more deeply in love with her, allowing her to be a more great and powerful intercessor in our life. Another beautiful way of leaning on our mother is the prayer of the Memorare. I know that I reference this prayer often. It is very powerful. I think it speaks to us. We're in our time of crosses, of suffering, of difficulties, of crying out to our mother, knowing that she is there to help us and to protect us. You may remember about 4 years ago, we came together as a parish and we prayed many memorares. Shortly after that, COVID came. In our parish, as far as I know, and I may have missed something, we had no funerals for anybody who died of COVID. I have no doubts that was Mary protecting us, that she asked us to say those prayers knowing what was coming, guided, of course, by her Son. Pray this prayer many times a day. When you wake, when you go into some work, when you get ready for bed. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.